रामाय राम भद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय अहपतये नमः। अयोध्या कांड चैप्टर नंबर 40 लॉर्ड रामास डिपार्चर। द रेसिटेशन स्टार्ट्स नाउ। देन रामा लक्ष्मणा सीता रेवरेंस्ड हिज मैजेस्टी किंग दशरथ विद फोल्डेड हैंड्स टच्ड हिज फीट विद देयर हेड्स एंड टुक लीव ऑफ हिम। They next saluted Queen Kaushalya, dazed with grief. Lakshmana prostrated himself before his mother Sumitra and touched her feet with his head. The noble lady could not restrain her tears, but she was ever intent on the peace and happiness of her son, and hence kissed him on the head and said, "Child, it comes to you so naturally to love your friends with no common love. Queen Kaushalya brought forth a son to save the worlds. Even so, I gave birth to you to serve Rama in every way, at all times, in all places, in the city and in the forest. So when you follow Rama in the woods, as he roams through them in the happy company of Sita, gazing at each strange and curious object, forget yourself not in the sweet contemplation of his supernal beauty, lordly gait, loving looks and honeyed words. Never be thrown off guard in the matter of looking after his safety. Prince or pauper, Rama is your lord, your god, your everything. It is a law of the world that the younger should ever obey the elder and serve him in every way. This is the dharma lived by the good and the great. This is the dharma lived from time immemorial by the scions of the Ikshvaku race. It is the duty of the Kshatriya to give away in unstinted charity, to engage himself in sacrifices to the gods, and to cheerfully give his life at the call of his country. Hence, you will defend Rama from harm and evil, even at the cost of your own life. Delay not a moment, start at once. Henceforth, your father is Rama and Sita is your mother. The pathless wilds are Ayodhya, the capital of your kingdom. Your highest happiness consists in obeying the behests of Rama. Go in peace." Thus the Sumitra sent forth her son to share the exile of Rama. Then, as Mathili, the charioteer of Indra, announces to his master that his conveyance is ready, even so Sumitra spoke to Rama over folded palms of respect. "O mighty prince of peerless fame, may all good be thine. Thy chariot awaits for you to take you wherever you may list. This is the first day of the 14 years you are to spend in the woods in pursuance of the orders of Kaikeyi. You remember that she urged your departure from here this very day." Sita put on her dress and ornaments and got into the chariot first, all cheerfully, shining like the sun or the smokeless fire. Rama and Lakshmana ascended next. The attendants arranged in it the robes and ornaments given to Sita by Dashrath to last during the period of exile, as also the weapons, armor, leather-covered baskets, spades and axes. Then Sumitra urged the noble steeds fleeter than the wind. As Rama left the city to live long years of privation in the woods, everyone, men, women, children, elephants, horses and kinds were struck senseless with grief. The people wandered about as if demented and afflicted with a nameless woe. Elephants in rut grew madder with grief. Horses ran here and there as if some evil spirits possessed them. The harsh jingle of the ornaments pained the ear everywhere. As creatures parched with the summer's heat run towards cool waters, even so did men and women, old and young, in Ayodhya run after Rama. They hemmed in the chariots on all sides, before and behind, right and left, and with streaming eyes and burning sighs, they raised their voice in a piteous wail, as if their very life was being torn out of their bodies. "Sumitra, pray rein these festive steeds. Oblige us by driving slow. Grant us to behold the face of our darling Rama even for a little while. Who knows whether this may not be the last time we are so blessed? Is it made of adamant, the heart of her that bore Rama in her womb? Her godlike son is driven to the forest and yet it breaks not. There is no child more favored of fortune than Sita. As the light of the sun quits not for a moment the Mount Meru, so she walks in the footsteps of the ideal wife and follows him even as a shadow. O Lakshmana, life holds for you nothing worth desiring, nothing worth achieving. You are the envy of the worlds, and that for all time, since you are privileged to render every service to your brother, radiant as a god and sweet-spoken to all. Speech cannot measure the merit and happiness that lie in store for you through this. You but walk the straight path to the highest heavens when you accompany Rama to his hermit home. Then Dasharatha and his wives, loath to lose sight of Rama, rushed out from the harem crying, "Shall we not look once again upon the fair face of our darling Rama?" As when the leader of the herd, the bull elephant, is captured by the cunning hunters, the cows trumpet forth their griefs most piteously, so did the women of the city cry and wail over the dire misfortune that befell them. Dasharatha heard it. The father of Rama, the monarch of countless millions, the proud scion of the race of Ikshvaku, rich in everything that the world could ever give, he saw himself sinking under the heavy curse that plunged himself and his people in the dark gulf of unspeakable woe. As when the queen of night in her full-orbed radiance is dragged imperceptibly into the dark and hideous maw of Rahu, the serpent of the eclipse, even so, all brightness, all splendor, all luster fled from his face. Ramachandra of unfathomable fortitude perceived his father running after him and said, "Faster, Sumantra!" What could poor Sumantra do? Lend an ear to Rama, who cried faster, yet faster, or comply with the prayers and entreaties of the townsmen, who cried in despair, "Stop, stop!" He stood confused, utterly unable to obey them both. The dust clouds raised by the flying chariot wheels were laid by the tears that streamed from the eyes of the weeping multitudes. On every side rose groans, cries, wails, laments, and sobs. Now you came upon groups of men and women who stood gazing straight before them, lost to everything else. Now you passed others who writhed in the grip of speechless woe that was yet merciful enough to allow a passage for tears. As in a lotus pool, the busy fish dart here and there, and the pearly drops of the morning dew rain from the petals of the flower shaken by them. Even so, the women of the city wept their eyes out, unable to bear the pangs of separation from their beloved Rama. As with one heart, with one brain, with one body, the millions of Ayodhya bore their cross. Dasharatha, the professed guardian of their happiness here and hereafter, felt himself a despicable traitor to his duty by them and fell headlong in a dead faint. The populace cried out in horror and pity at the sight, and they that followed Rama cried out in great fear. Some exclaimed, "Ha, Rama!" and others, "Ha, Queen Kaushalya!" Not a single voice was silent, not a single eye was dry amongst those that came from the harem. Rama's ears were pierced with the screams and the pitiable cries, and he turned only to see Dasharatha and Kaushalya run after his chariot, staggering with unsteady gait like mad. He saw them following him out of the corner of his eyes, even as the foal, bound tight beyond the possibility of escape, gazes pitiably at its dam. Accustomed all their lives to be conveyed in gorgeous chariots, they ran afoot, surrounded by every luxury and comfort, strangers to misery and privation. They shook with grief. And Rama, an impotent spectator, quick but ordered Sumantra to drive the fleet horses yet faster. Of unshaken fortitude, yet he found it hard to bear, even as a lordly elephant pierced deep with a cruel goad. Kaushalya, near the chariot, even as a cow rushes at the place where her calf lies helplessly bound. Again and again he saw Kaushalya tottering after the chariot with streaming eyes, crying out, "Ha, Rama! Ha, Lakshmana! Ha, Sita! Stop the chariot! Stop! Stop!" ordered Dasharatha. "Drive! Drive faster!" ordered Rama. Like a man caught between the wheels of a chariot, Sumantra struggled with his overwhelming grief. So Rama saw it and cried, "Sumantra, listen to me. drive on quicker. When you meet His Majesty again and He blames your disobedience for not listening to His orders to stop the chariot, tell Him that His commands did not reach you through all this noise. It is not true, you say, but I assure you, I cannot keep my patience any longer. My promise made to my father will have to go for naught. Sumantra bent his head in obedience to Rama, made him take leave of the people that followed him, and urged the noble horses to yet greater speed. Then the citizens and the people of the harem realized the hopelessness of the pursuit, went round Rama and turned away from him. But it was their bodies that went back, their hearts followed Rama, and their tears poured forth never ceasingly. Then the counselors of the king, conversant with all usages, customs and traditions, respectfully submitted to Dasharatha that the wise have laid down, it is not good to accompany far on his way one whose safe return we have at heart. Dasharatha reluctantly yielded to the advice and with his wives in attendance stood there for a long time with wearied limbs and broken heart, gazed pitiably at Rama who was fast disappearing in the distance. Mangalam Kaushalendra Mahaniya Gunabde Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.